All right, man. You know, it was rough, man. We got through the 200, man. And, you know, now it's time to get it back home, man. It's time to climb that next hill, man.
201.
201 is coming up. You know, we we probably should have did the Meg, man. I want to see that movie.
Oh, yeah. I like teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just
like, I got go a ahead. Koozie for the Meg.
You got a koozie?
What is that?
Oh, yeah. I was like at the... Yeah. I went there, and they were giving them away to the people who had movie pass. Mm-hmm. And the guy was... And I was like, how can I get one of those? And he was like... I'll just give you one.
Okay, he's the reason why MoviePass is going out of business. Damn it! The hell with that guy.
It wasn't MoviePass. It's like the AMC or theaters has their own MoviePass.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get it on.
It's Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
All right, man, we are back, and we got a good one for you this week. It is show number 201. I'm the host of Fangio Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is a sensitive woman herself, Miss Tifflebot. How are you on this fine 201 day, Tiff?
Ooh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like it's 99 to 300.
And a B ain't one. No. And the smooth one himself.
S-M-O-O-V-E, spell smooth. Not Dwayne.
How you doing today, sir?
I've got a grin again.
Oh, check you out. I'm not even going to push it and actually throw another rhyme. Oh, yeah. Right. So this week, man, we're doing what? We're doing Mission Impossible Fallout 1, you know? Oh, you know something I forgot? It's Fans of Patrol time! And on this week's show, we got a bunch of news for you, man. It's Star Trek Galore. We got some fresh, brand new Star Trek news that just shook the world on, I think, a couple days ago. And then about maybe a half a week ago, we had some bone-crushing, earth-shattering, ridiculous Star Trek news that just I can't wait to talk about, but I'm not going to say nothing else about it. Oh, what else are we talking about? Oh, Simon Pegg got a new movie trailer out, so we're going to check out that. We're gonna hit our last of Kick-Ass this week. And as promised, we know that the movie's been out for a while, but I'm sure everybody's seen it now. So gather around, children, get everybody. It's time, cruisy time. We're going to talk about Mission Impossible Fallout. And you guys have noticed, I actually said the name right this time. I hadn't said Rogue Nation 17 times like I've been saying before it came out.
I wasn't paying attention to
that. Oh, you suck, Dwayne. No, you got to be my nemesis, don't you?
No, I was just wasn't paying attention.
All right. Saying all that, are you boys and girls ready to go?
Yeah.
Well, let me reload my arms. Yeah.
Ah, let's go.
The Chris's. Those pieces of shit.
Why don't you tell us about those pieces of shit, Tim?
Right.
Well, they were in these talks to get their contracts negotiated, but then for some reason, this news story says that they negotiated their contracts maybe in 2016, but they have accumulated some clout, some popularity since then, and well, with least, that they want to renegotiate.
At least one of them has. I don't know about the other one.
Well, I know that's what I'm thinking. Like Chris Pine. Slow down a little.
Yeah, Chief, you were popular. I ain't seen you in a while. What was the last thing you did, you know?
It was a Wonder Woman. I mean, like, that's, like, what they're saying has given him the clout. But, I mean, like, no.
Well, man.
Maybe last year when Wonder Woman came out, you know.
Wasn't he in something else, though? He was in something else.
He's been in plenty, but,
yeah.
I mean.
But, yeah, you know, it's something like recognizable, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, something that you really say, oh, wow, that was just, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was good acting.
Right, he was a co-star in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You know, then he did that movie with the sea, that old-timey.
Yeah, exactly. What movie?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. It was like a Coast Guard movie from, like, the 20s or 30s or something like that. Okay, so, you know, nobody saw it, you know.
But so, the problem is with this is that, like, I mean, I don't want to disparage anyone's profession, but like if you're getting paid even $1 million to do, how long does a movie shoot usually? Like, it's not as long as people think it is.
No, normally they're on set for maybe 12 weeks or something like that.
Right. Imagine if you got paid $1 million for 12 weeks at your job, and then you didn't, you know what I mean? And you're going to work again and get more money. That would be enough money.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? Put it in working man's terms. So I go to work and they say, okay, dude, you go to work and you're going to make $150 a day. This is what you make. You're going to make $150 a day. And then, like, you're going to do this. You're going to switch you to another job. And they say, listen, you're going to make $50 a day for the next 12 weeks for this project. So now
it's the same project, though.
People say, hey, I can get Montego for $50 now. His price went down, you know. So it's like, if you're making $150 a day, you can't start negotiating for $50 a day.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you suck.
I begrudgingly accept this as evidence that that is correct. But I do think, here's the thing, I think it's hard for people who, like people who aren't, who don't have any concept of what it would be like to have $1 million to have sympathy for someone who wants to be paid more.
Right, Tiff, let me just tell you, you know, from the millionaire's point of view, it's pretty good, man. You know, I love spending money, you know. There's always another million coming in and stuff like that. Y'all didn't know that about me.
Yeah, but don't you think they could, like, work out a deal, possibly, as far as, say, you know, when the DVD comes out, action figures maybe, or, you know, merchandise?
Well, that's what Tom Cruise is. That's how he got so rich, because he said, the hell with getting paid. I'll do this movie for free. I just want tail-end cash.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know?
Yeah.
However,
retail.
With these cats, you know, they're popular cats, especially Chris Hemsworth now.
Of course, yeah.
Super-duper popular, and I think this is the Harrison Ford move. This is the Star Wars, you know. Make him come to the table with some cash.
Yeah, it works though.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're gonna, you can't make this movie without these two guys.
Right.
Correct. That's the thing. The only, I feel like the bargaining chip that Chris Pine has is, good luck, motherfuckers.
He's Kirk. Yeah.
Because he is the Kirk for their movie. Like, if you replace him now, people are gonna be like, what?
No, I'm going to tell you someone better. I'm sorry, Smooth. He's actually William Shatner now, because this is a William Shatner move.
So what is Hemsworth got? It? I mean, he's playing his dad?
He played the dad in the first movie, but you could actually replace him. If you didn't make
nobody would remember.
I mean, if you didn't make big announcements about it, right, nobody would have cared.
Right.
Oh, they got so-and-so playing his daddy now. You know, that's would have been the reaction.
He was on the ship. Yeah, he was. Yeah, okay, when it crashed.
Come on, Smooth.
I didn't even put it together that was him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was a regular. He was built like me back then. He was,
yeah, right. Yeah.
He wasn't like this monster. What do you say? He's a manly man.
Right.
He's not a man. Right. He's not a dude. You're a dude. Yeah. This is a man.
This is a man.
this is a man.
I've watched that movie like 3 times since it came out, man. It's really better.
It's
than
very
I,
good.
It's better than I thought it was. You know, now that I've been at home and like analyzing scenes, I'm like, damn, this is really, really good. We're talking about the Avengers, y'all. We digress.
Yeah, sorry. That's how we roll.
Yeah, I don't think either one of these bastards are going anywhere.
No, and the thing about it is that everyone can just relax because they'll get their negotiations and everything will be fine.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's Star Trek, man. We love the Trek. Well, two of us do.
Yeah, two of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I like maybe a little bit.
You didn't like the newer movie, Smooth?
No, they're good to watch. No, mm-hmm. They are.
Speaking of Star Trek, they just announced yesterday that Nichelle Nichols is suffering from dementia. So, sorry for the old gal. I just met her what was it, March? Yeah, I got pictures with her. I never did post those on the internet. You know, I just
there's still time.
I just kept them for myself. You know.
That's what we're getting away from, man. Just harvesting the moment as it is.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you for some sugar. Can I have some sugar? But I left it alone. Just right here on the cheek. That's some little sugar. So I can come back and play the old Star Trek and be like, hey, she kissed me on the cheek. Don't look at her now. Look at the old one. Anyway, what else we got, Tiffo Bob? What's cooking?
Oh, my God. The most important news that ever been announced on the planet Earth.
Fanfare, throw in the twos.
Is that Jean-Luc Picard is coming back to us. They're going to have a Star Trek follow-up after TNG, like what happens to Jean-Luc after TNG, and it's the most important thing that's ever happened to me.
Okay. I got something to say.
All right.
Okay, first of all, I don't know where this is going, okay? Just to say.
Yeah.
Because the last episode of TNG, he was a shuffling old man, just losing his mind going back and forth with Q and his continuum and stuff. But that was way in the future. You know, due respect. So, are they bringing everyone back?
I don't think so. Because you also remember that he became an admiral of a different ship.
Yeah, Riker had the Enterprise. Was it? Did Riker have the Enterprise?
Yes, yes.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to go back. Look at Smooth. Smooth, everyone, Smooth is giving me this dumbass look like he's in a room full of nerds. Man, like, he looks like the school boy right now. He wants to beat us up.
The dweebness is just overflowing. But go ahead, because you guys, I see the love in your faces and in your voices, man. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's great, man. I just feel the energy. So go ahead. Nerd
we just
out.
Knocked our school books out of our hands. And yeah,
yeah, yeah. Hey, my butt cheeks is full of underwear right now. That's all I can say.
I think that they might like do a little retconning and like clean up the timeline a little bit because, like, you know, as a person who's watched Star Trek, there's lots of episodes where they're like, "This is a potential future. This is your future.
Yes, yes.
If this happens or whatever, you know what I mean." So, like, I think they'll do a little bit of cleanup. And they'll show, and I think, like, one, no, I don't think they're going to bring back a whole bunch of people, but I definitely think they'll bring back some people as permanent characters.
Worf.
And everyone will make a guest appearance.
Worf, please bring back my favorite character, Worf.
I think they'll bring back Worf, because he's pretty much down to, like, and plus, he looks the same.
He does. Well,
that's the Klingon.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Yeah, he does look the same. And you know something? I always wanted to see Worf as captain of a ship, man, just acting a fool, you know, just being fierce and stuff. So
I would like to see him, like, really take on, ooh, and, like, he, ooh, you know, he was on
he could be number two.
Nine.
He could be number one.
Oh.
Yeah, because Riker got like his own that. Ship. Yeah, yeah.
He deserves it.
Yes. Give him a promotion.
Here's the thing. Here's who's not going to come back.
Data.
Yeah. He can't because he's too old. Like, the whole point of him being an android is that he wouldn't age.
He died. He died in the movies. He got blown up.
I know, but they would bring him back anyway. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, it'd be Data 5,000.
I hear Data's pretty much a douche in real life.
Is he?
That's what I heard. He's douchey. That's what I heard. I heard he's a major douchebag. That's what I hear. I've never met him, but I'm just saying.
Why would you say that to me and crush all of my dreams?
That's what I heard. Yeah. I heard. I'm trying to remember who told me that.
It happens. It happens.
Oh, it does happen.
Mm-hmm. I heard he's met major but douche. Well,
I am so fucking excited for this. Like, if they do it right, this could really.
Hey,
so this is they're bringing the series back.
It's supposed to come on CBS Access. Move.
I know.
Oh really?
No. So it's a show.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Dude, it's supposed to be a series.
Man, that Star Trek that's on CBS Access is dope.
No, I mean, remember? Yeah, we was talking about because we seen the first like two or three episodes and. I was impressed. Yeah,
it's really good. Yeah. It's good. I mean, it's really good. That's probably why they're doing this. They're like, man, we made so much money. We made all our money on that one show. Nobody else is watching anything else on that stupid channel but that. We got Montego Bradley like paying his dollars every time he come over. Then he cuts us off and he thinks he's getting over.
How many episodes was that?
Like 12 or 13, something
that
like
not
that.
Not bad. That
was that's good. A perfect amount.
Yeah. It wasn't that much, but I think they're longer than normal shows. I think they go like full like 55 minutes and stuff.
55
you know?
Minutes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that seems like a long time when you know, you're watching. Because normally, I think they're normally like 44 minutes or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's like 45 without commercials or something like that.
Yeah, right, so, yeah. And of course, I did it without the commercial version, man. You got to. If I'm going to do it, I might as well just do it, right? And shit. You know?
Hell yeah.
So, I'm excited, Tiff. I'm really, really excited, man. I mean, great stuff. I just hope, you know, he don't look like he did in Wolverine because he was kind of a shuffling old corpse in Wolverine, using your words.
But he's, but I think like it's also okay, like because I mean, like he can, he's spry. Do you know what I mean? I've seen him in reality, so I don't think they're gonna do that. But I mean, like he's definitely gonna be older. Obviously, he's old, but like I think like he'll be like his old charming self.
No more action scenes. No Tamark and Raynar when the walls went down. That's over. You know, he won't be out there with his shirt off.
No, he'll be sitting in a chair waving at people.
Worf, kick his ass.
But you know what? He looked pretty much the same as in Doom. He's, you know.
Can I just say that Patrick Stewart is actually half black because that don't never crack. And this cat been looking the same for the last like 50 years. Yeah. He looked like that in Dune, except his powder puffs were darker.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, right.
Exactly.
And he's really nice, as opposed to Brett Spiner, who I guess you said could be a jerk. I've heard nothing but nice things about
That's cool.
Patrick Stewart.
That's cool. Yeah. You got $1 billion. Why not be cool? Anyway, so what is the last thing we're looking at here?
I figured it was, I know that like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are not your like favorite
guys. I love Simon Pegg. No.
Well, but I figured since we were talking about Mission Impossible and he has this new trailer out, we might as well talk about it. So they're making this movie. It looks like it's very similar in the same vein, looks like, as like
Hot Fuzz or something.
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. Yeah. Just kind of campy, fun, you know, gory, but not super bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. Now, you know, we talked about this before. What you have confused people about is that it's not that I'm not a fan. I just never seen Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, or any of those other movies. But I always like his characters in all the movies. I really like him because he's always either quirky or positive or something. And I really like that. I love him as Scotty, all that stuff. And, you know, we said we were going to watch these movies probably for a fan service. So we'll get to it. But this, as soon as I saw it, I said, Shaun of the Dead, this is the same feel. And, you know, so Peg is producing it, right? It's his baby, right?
Yeah, I do believe this is his baby.
Is this making fun of Harry Potter?
I feel like it is. It says, like, there's a thin line of Harry Potter stuff happening in here. There's, like, some cape and wand-looking stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to see this because I haven't seen the other ones. But, I mean, it looks fine. I mean, I don't know. It's a comedy, right? You guys love comedies.
Yeah, I like to laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, I think there's a few things I want to say about this trailer.
Go ahead.
One, I do feel like there is a little bit of inherent Britishness to these movies, especially this one, because there's just something that we don't exactly understand, particularly about the British school system, but private schooling in particular.
Yeah, it seems like ultra strict.
Yeah.
Like you're required to get a stick shoved up your cheeks as soon as you walk in. Go to class.
That's something that's like, there's that element to it that's just like, I don't understand that. But also, I will be honest. I'm going to see this because I'm already invested in it and I'm already enjoying the idea of it because of my prior connection to the other movies and how I enjoyed these, like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Yeah, of course.
However, I will say, the way that this trailer is cut,
not good,
is pretty abysmal.
I thought so too. I was holding back Tiflebot because
you can be honest.
The concept of it should be great, but I think the trailer is pretty bad, man. I think it makes it's kind of like all over the place, and it doesn't really highlight, you know, who.
What's it about?
Who are you highlighting? Because there's some pretty prominent actors in it, but you need in a trailer, you need to concentrate on something. When you're just all over the place, bump, 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 you know, is it a Simon Pegg movie? Is it a young dude with the curly hair movie? Is it, you know,
the girl with the glasses?
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah, I don't like the trailer. Yeah. I do have to say that. I think they can cut a better trailer. They look like they got enough good stuff there to cut a better trailer than
this. It's almost like, and it's not even the way, it's like, they went too fast. It was so choppy that, like, before I could even, my brain could even organize what thoughts on what was happening in a particular scene of a trailer, it was already the next part. So, like, I was like, it was disorienting in a way.
Yeah. I didn't care for
it. Sorry, guys, but it wasn't good.
Yeah. But see, I was, you know, I was chilling. I was like, it doesn't make me want to see it. That's for sure. So, what about you, Smooth?
Pretty much everything you guys said. Yeah. The music matches because it's supposed to be comedy. But yeah, the trailer was pretty much you're splattering paint on the wall. This color here, this color there.
Get it together, fellas. Right, you got to do better than this. You won't put butts in the seats.
Well, I think we'll see another one soonish, and it'll be better, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because you know what, it might work for the millennials because their attention span. You know, it's not.
You are fucking right.
You are so wrong, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Uh
oh. Come on.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because we do this every week, man, and we know a good trailer when we see one. You know, and when it's good, it's normally good. Mm. And when it's bad, we know it's bad. I mean, I don't think you got to be a millennial to know that. I mean, I know what you're saying about the attention span.
Like, because they're like, their attention is like snap, 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 snap. They're like that 30-second Vine shit and the fucking Snapchat videos and the bullshit like that. No offense, millennials. I'm on the cusp.
Yeah. No, I see what both of you are saying. It was made for them, but still was bad. It's still a bad trailer.
It's still a bad trailer. Yes. So, man, that's it for the news. That was a bunch of Star Trek stuff. It's beautiful. It's a good day, man.
Boy, Picard coming back.
Good day to be a nerd.
Yeah. That's what we ought to get some Picard clips and just chop them all through the show.
Right.
Oh, shit. Hey, Smooth.
Yes.
You know what? It's social media time. Could you tell the people how they can reach all our goodness?
Well, I sure can, Mr. Montego Bradley. For everything Fans on Patrol, go to fansonpatrol.com. If you want to reach us, you can reach us at fans@fansonpatrol.com. One word. Or you can get us directly social media on Twitter or Facebook or the Instagram @fansonpatrol. And you can hear us at Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Please give us a rating, and we'll review you on the air. And if you give us a rating, that'll help you find us on the chart there.
Yeah.
You know. And like I said, we'll give you we'll shout you out on the air. Well, actually, Tifflebot will shout you out on the air, whether it's good or bad.
Coolness. Hey. Good. Shout out to Phil Batista, man, for giving us a 200th episode shout out. Shout out to you, Philly Phil.
Philly B.
That's right. Philly B. I saw that a while ago, and I meant to shout him out last week and stuff. Yeah. But shout out to you, man, and your new addition to your family, man.
Yeah, new baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful
indeed,
baby.
Indeed. See, we know y'all fans. We look at your stuff. We comment. We get involved, you know.
Right.
So, it's break time, man.
Okay.
We're gonna take a break of root. We be right back.
Yeah. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face.
All right, man, it's time for Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass number 6, issue number 6, Mark Millar, John Romita Jr. Okay, the last time we did this book, we did like 3 or 4 of them because we had to catch up, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So just to catch the people, I don't know if I got to catch you all the way up, but, you know, Patience got in trouble, man. Patience got in trouble, and, you know, they found out who she was. Mr. Solo was so calculated, he found out who she was, grabbed her kid, and took her away, you know, for the beatdown. And so this is where this book leaves off. They, you know, they got Patience, and all the criminals she's been beating up all over town is you know, showing up at this little beating party. And Mr. Solo really, you know, you're like, hey, we waiting for Hoops. Hoops is doing a deal and a merger to merge the gangs, you know, for some criminal activity. And he's like, I gotta go somewhere. And so they're waiting, to, you know, to for the interrogation of Patience. You know, Mr. Solo don't even need to, you know, interrogate her though. He know her whole story, and I like that. I want to say scene like it's a movie. I like that when he starts breaking down everything about her, you know, I like that because it wasn't personal to him. He was just like, well, I can see how this happened. This makes perfect sense. Blah 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 blah. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know. And then she get a couple of, you know, she take a couple B's. Then she gets loose, Dwayne, and it's on. Oh my god,
looking at it.
Some of the most glorious stuff I've seen written on a page before.
This dude's eye pop out his head.
Yeah,
man.
People's heads is exploding. Ooh. Guns is in mouths. Blood is everywhere. Ooh. It's deep.
Oh,
my
goodness. Yeah, you're right.
Will not spoil this.
Right.
I'm going to leave it alone.
Man.
Y'all got to get this last issue because it takes a turn. Damn, it takes
a turn. It does.
And I like the direction it went. It was.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does. And I'll just leave it at that. Tifflebot, what you think?
Yeah. Okay, I cannot recommend. Here's the thing. We just realized that it's going to go on to issue 7, which is, given the ending, which we're not going to spoil, it's a little disappointing. However, I cannot stress enough that if you enjoy comics or if you enjoy action movies, that you should read this 6-issue arc of Kick-Ass because it is such a well-contained story. It's perfect for an action comic because, like, it gets right down to business and doesn't spend too much time. Like, it tells a story. You don't feel like you're missing out on a story, but it doesn't spend too much time getting into, like, the details that you don't care about. It, like, gets right to the point. It is a little violent, so, you know, be cautious of that if you don't like that kind of stuff. But other than that, it's a really good story. Very interesting.
This story is like John Wick. It's sheer will and focus. It was just ridiculous. What about you, Smooth? Yeah.
I didn't get to read it, but I'm looking over it. And, man, this is gory, violent, and it's everything that I like.
Let me caution, though. The gore serves a purpose.
It does, yeah.
It does.
And it's not like... Even for me, and y'all know I hate shit like that, but it wasn't too much for me. It actually made sense. And then when it happened, it was like, oh, yes. You know?
Right.
You know, it's like, of course, yes. You know, so it didn't bother me. I hate when they just do stuff for shock and value. I hate shock jocks. I hate all that stuff. You know, I hate just trying to set a person up just to go, ha! You know, and this did not do it.
Right.
It served the story.
And it almost is like this is kind of weird, but it's almost like the opposite of those situations where sometimes when you watch a horror movie or you read a comic book like this, it's like you feel like they're doing it just for gore's sake, like you said.
Yes.
However, in this instance, if they didn't go a little bit in the direction that they went, it'd almost be like you'd be like, man,
yep.
They kind of lied about the way that this, because it's very honest about how terrible and kind of gross the situation would be.
Yeah, I agree. That's actually a perfect summary right there. It had to go this way, and it was well done, and the art is kick-ass. My goodness, the art is ridiculous.
Yeah, it got a Frank Miller style.
This was dope. Yeah. I dug it.
Yeah.
I dug it. So.
Well, you know, the movie was pretty gory. As far, well, not... Well, it was bone-breaking, like, you know. They did a lot of stuff.
I barely remember that movie. I'm telling you, I only remember the scene when he talked about Switch the Kryptonite, when he was burning up and Switch the Kryptonite. The little girl was acting a fool and stuff. I remember that because it was just kind of cool. But the dude was burning to death when it happened. So.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Recommend y'all the whole series. Get it. Enjoy it. Read it.
Yep.
Okay. That's it, man.
Uh-oh. All right. Can I eat this cough drop really quick before the next segment?
Yeah, but we'll be right back. All right, man, we are back, and it's time for that Mission Style. You know, all you Tom Cruise haters, you might not want to listen to this, man, because we're doing a Tom Cruise movie, man. We're doing Mission Impossible Fallout 2018. It's 2 hours 27 minutes. And what do we got here? We got Tom Cruise, of course. We got Henry Cavill, that doesn't have on a cape.
Right.
Ben Rings with his old self.
Oh yeah.
Simon Pegg is in this movie. Rebecca Ferguson, Sean Harris, the fun dope ass Angela Bassett. Let's see, yep. Michelle Monaghan is in this. Wes Bentley, I don't know who that is. Oh, Alec Baldwin self is in this. And he actually looked pretty good in this one. Whoop and trim.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because he got pretty chunky there.
Yeah,
Wolf Blitzer is in this movie. And I'm not going to keep saying names at the names of the names, but there's a bunch of people in this movie. And, you know, like all the Mission Impossible movies, they kind of leave off from the last one. Now, funny enough, I've been watching these movies on... You know, in my spare time, which isn't much, but in my spare time. And I didn't realize how connected they were because I was paying attention. If you watch them in succession at the end of the movie, like one of the last movies, like before Rogue Nation, the mission he was getting was about a Rogue Nation. And I was like, oh, damn. So it started immediately, you know. I was like, oh, interesting. So, you know, the timeline is the timeline.
Okay.
So Ethan Hunt is back, man. He's doing his thing, you know. And the movie starts like it always does, you know, with an impossible mission, man. You know? And goddamn.
No clues or nothing. Like, we don't know. You don't know who it is. Just they had a name, no face. Like, damn. That's an impossible mission.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
So it started a little different, right? Because we had a dream sequence, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize the bad guy in the last movie was going to be in this movie. I didn't pay attention, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got some plutonium that's missing and stuff. And so. I mean, it's a pretty big mission, but when I'm watching it, though, I'm like, well, this always happens. It's always something that's going to blow up, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a little different, man. You got Benji in the field. I like seeing Benji in the field, man. I like his, you know, half-ass, he really shouldn't be in here,
yeah, right,
you know,
yeah.
mission. And Vin Rings is always the man in the chair, you know. And so
or the van.
Yeah, and they capture his big butt, man. You know? Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I was like, why'd he get caught? How they know he was there? But we find out that why everything is in the world is compromised after a while, which is a trip. Mm-hmm. Really like this first action sequence, man. I mean, it was just a hostage situation, and we see him in movies all the time. But for some reason, this was kind of special to me. It had a lot of weight because it was right in the beginning of the movie to me. Mm-hmm. And I had the feeling that anybody could go in this sequence. I mean, how did you guys feel? Did you?
Yeah, because I was I'm not as invested as it is in the missions as you are, Mission Impossible movies as you are. I have seen a few, but like you said,
hold up, spoilers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, yeah,
I forgot about it. Go ahead,
Smith. Yeah, yeah. But when he shot Vin Rames, I was like, oh damn, he's out of here already, because I thought he domed him.
I thought, what about you, Tiff?
This is my first Mission Impossible movie.
Oh, that's right, because you never watched any of them. Huh?
So I will say that at this point in the movie, I'm like pretty invested, and I thought this was a nice. I enjoy the characters who are like, he's like, he's supposed to care about his mission, but he cares about his friends.
Right.
First time they actually like voiced that, and I like the concept of it because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're saving the world all the time, you know, and this team works, you know, your family would be more important than, you know, I guess everybody else. But I really felt in this beginning of the sequence, I thought either, you know, Benji could go or what's his name, Luther.
Yeah,
because I thought they were going to do it just for cheap, you know.
Yeah, for some cheap sympathy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Are they gonna kill one of these guys? And I thought it was gonna be Benji because he was always, I got a bad feeling. I got a bad feeling. I was like, yeah. And then when he got up, I was like, good. At least let somebody make it to the movie. And because it's been six of these, I just knew somebody was gonna go.
Right. It's just that time.
I was waiting for somebody to go. Not that I felt like you had to, but you just know how they do shit in Hollywood now these days. You know.
Yeah.
Let's kill so and so.
Right. Yeah. They get the shock factor. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
why don't we kill Ethan?
Right.
So, you know, this setup they do with this guy in the hospital, I thought was so good.
Oh man, it had me fooled.
It was so good.
Had me fooled. Like, damn. I thought they was doing a good cop, bad cop routine.
They were, but I didn't know he was in a phony hospital.
Me neither.
That was so cool.
I didn't either, yeah.
Especially with dude on CNN, you know what I mean? You
right.
I'm like, oh, then Benji pulled off the... I'm like, oh, this is great, man.
Well, let me tell you, Ethan was acting his cheeks off.
He did.
Because he was doing the tormented thing before he even entered while the guy was still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh. So he was all conflicted, and I was like, damn, they started it off like this. This cat then blew up. You know, because it's their world. They can do what they want to do and not, you know.
Right.
I mean, in one of the movies, they blew up the Kremlin, you know. And in the next movie, they talked about it. So it wasn't like something that happened and just disappeared. I hate cheap shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
This movie, this catastrophe happens in this movie. Nobody ever talks about it, you know. But so, you know, they fool the guy and all that stuff. And, you know, they get on with the mission, man. And the mission is, it's bad, man. You know, he loses the plutonium. They got to go after it. And then enter the dope ass, fine ass, smooth ass Angela Bassett. Oh, she's coming
down. I definitely thought you were going to say Henry Cavill.
For the ladies, the dope ass, fine ass Henry Cavill. with that mustache.
Like, he's problematic because he had some... He made some comments that were pretty shitty. However, he looks good in this movie.
Oh, he said some shit up to me too real quick, and then like tried to be like, whoa, 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 you know.
Oh, okay.
He didn't do anything. To be clear, he did not do anything. He just
said something.
He just spoke on it.
Some stupid comments, but he's looking mighty fine in this movie.
Well, I'm gonna say something about Henry Cavill in this movie. Now, he's a big ass Superman, probably the biggest that ever put the cape on, right? Yeah. I mean, he's actually, you say, goddamn, that's Superman. He would be looking like that. You know, we always say, oh, that's impossible for somebody to look like that. Not with this big bastard.
Oh, yeah.
So he has on a shirt and tie the entire movie, right? Thank God we didn't do no cheap show your ass bullshit. Like,
fuck you, mission.
You know what, though? He still, like you said, he still looks like a big hulking dude.
Dude, he was so intimidating. When just walking up behind Angela Bassett and standing there, I was like, you know, here's my mind.
Mm-hmm.
How would I fight him? The movie's going on. I'm like, how would I fight him? Right. I was like, man, if I take it to the body, he's going to survive all that.
He's going to absorb that.
And I'm like, look at his chin. I was like, he'll just like turn around and look at you like he pissed at, you know, after you hit him, you know. And I was like, he's probably quick. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting there like,
that's
oh,
Superman,
God.
That's Superman right there.
You know? I'm just sitting there looking like, I don't know how I would take this dude up. Maybe the knees. You know, I'm just, yeah. He's just so big.
Okay. Here's where I'm going to say something.
What's that?
What's
that?
And not to be sexist, because women can certainly enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a movie meant for men. And that is why when you watch it, you're like, how can I beat him up? That is why he doesn't take off his shirt. Because my brother pointed out as we were leaving this movie, in this whole film, the only conversation between two women happens at the very end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And they're talking about...
Ethan. Yeah, in the hospital, yeah.
So it does not pass the Bechdel test. However, there's just... I mean, like, there's a badass woman in this movie, to be fair. But, like... not a lot of speaking.
Tiff, with all due respect, the last thing I would want to see is a Kung Fu Karate cat fight, which a lot of these movies do. And yeah. So I'm
here's what I want to see. Henry Cavill with no shirt. Now.
Right. I'm glad they didn't do the cheap shirt thing, you know. Anyway.
However, we did see him get his ass handed to him.
Well, yeah, that dude was ridiculous.
You know, here's his downfall. You're wondering if it's the knees. It's his pride. It's his hubris. He does not think he can be beaten.
God, he was so intimidating. Yeah. He scared the shit out of me. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting there.
Well, you know what? Especially from the trailers, when they did show the fighting scene in the bathroom, dude, and he was just wrecking.
The fighting scene in the bathroom, I thought he was whooping Ethan's ass.
He was kicking his ass, which I do feel like, spoilers, because we already put the spoilers up, did kind of... I knew he was the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's very obvious. And these movies aren't meant to be...
Wait a minute, Tim.
Like, very secretive.
When did you know he was the bad guy? Let's go around.
Like, right away. Like, as soon as he walked up behind Angela Bassett.
Oh, wow. Mm. I wasn't thinking like that.
I did.
I realized it when it was...
when he gave her the tape?
Well, when he gave her the tape, it was obvious. But when he was walking through the room, when Ethan was walking through the room, I was like, "Oh, what if he's Mr. So and So?"
Yeah, Mr. Lang, or whatever.
Lark.
There is so much smoldering eye contact in this movie. But in the bathroom, when he reloads his arms like they've been talking about, like I, you know, my favorite part of the whole fucking that fight scene in the bathroom. It's my favorite part of the whole movie.
Hey, I will say this too, man. Henry know how to fight. I was watching the way he was twisting his body with those punches and shit. I was like, man, Henry would beat your ass, man. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. Hello, Mr. Cavill. How are you? Can I shine your shoes?
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't catch on to it too. Well, when he saved them, when they did the when they first dived, they jumped out the plane.
What a prick! How he was acting on that plane. You know?
I know.
I was like, man, this dude is an ultra prick. You know? And then he gets down on the thing and he was like, lost your oxygen, huh?
Right.
Like,
oh my God. I mean, I know that the movie is like making you feel this way, but I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, man, you should just let him splatter right on.
That's why, again, I was like, how would I beat his ass? Maybe I should go for these.
I want to talk a little bit about the White Widow.
Oh, yeah. I like the White Widow.
That poetry scene? She is maybe the sexiest person in this whole movie.
Yes, can we slow it down and cue the dope-ass sexy music? Because when he walked in that room and they was shooting her from behind to show you a little bootay action in the white dress and she was just talking all slow. Tiffo bot. That's what you wanted with Henry Cavill, right? You wanted one of those slow moments, right? With the shirt off.
Yeah, I wanted them to show close in on his buns.
Wow.
While they were fighting in the bathroom, his shirt could have ripped off on accident.
Hey, his tie didn't even come loose.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I know.
Got a tie on, man. Get out of here. He had a tie.
But here's the thing. It's just, there's something about, she's very beautiful.
She was sexy.
She also looked very muscular. She also just looks, the teeth.
She was sexy.
Yeah.
She was sexy.
Teeth.
She could bite me.
Yeah.
She was kind of perfect. And I thought, like, I don't think they, like, over-sexualized her in this movie. Do you know what I mean? They didn't.
Nope.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they didn't make it seem like that wasn't the only thing that she had.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're being over-sex right now. The movie didn't do it.
She was classy sexy.
You know, big time.
Yeah, she was classy.
But how about when she goes back to her house and all those goons? I was like, all the sexiness was gone. I was like, shit. Right. this chick is serious. It's a heart attack, man. I mean, who got that many...
she's important.
Who got that many thugs in their house at that time of night?
Well, she had the older brother. You know, that was her brother. Of course, that's that was her brother and her friend and his friends.
What? I like how Hunt kept pointing out how stupid and cliche the brother was, and she totally agreed. You know, she was just like, "Yeah, he gonna get me in trouble." You know, trying to be a stupid bully. Who you want to protect? Me or your brother? She just met him. She's like, "Oh, you, my brother gonna get me killed."
Because he pointing out stuff like, "Yeah, you see over there."
And then when they fight, oh my god, you guys! I want to say something from the beginning of the movie. Till they get to London for the rendezvous. Like where they after they've gotten Solomon Lane. This movie is nonstop.
Oh yeah.
It's insane. It is so good. It's the epitome of an action movie.
Yes.
Like, okay, so we could discuss they attack the police.
Hey, how about the false what do you call it? Foreshadowing with that. Man.
Nah, I think when he does the memory stuff, I'm just like, it's a little overplayed because it's like hard to.
I didn't think it was a memory.
Actual plot.
I thought it was going down like
not that. Not memory, but when he thinks, oh, what if this happened? And he shot the cop.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't realize that until he shot the cop.
Oh, yeah.
Like when it first started happening, I was like,
oh, no, goodness. I knew it. Yeah, I kind of knew it. Well, you know what? Yeah, because it was killing too many. Yeah, when he did it, I was like, yeah, this is a memory thing.
He's so
like,
wait, you said 17,000 words in like a second.
It said nothing. It said nothing at the same time. Hopefully you'll edit that. But I agree with you.
Yeah, this scene when they like the chase. Okay, so he overthrows the plot of them to do what they wanted to do, and he gets Solomon. So like, there's the whole chase scene, and like he's on the bike.
The dude was in the water,
and then it's so fucking cool.
Yeah, I like seeing the guy in the water, and you know, and they come rescue him and stuff, and all this is going down.
Right.
He's running from everybody, and they jam that car in that little, you know, cove.
Right.
Cops is everywhere. His bike don't start, and I'm like, that bike would start. That's a fine machine right there. He got so he takes off, and his boy. What's Henry Cavill's character's name?
August Walker,
Mr. Walker. Right.
Yeah.
He's sitting there, and he's gone. Right.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, of course.
Now. Motorcycle scenes in Mission Impossible movies happen almost ever since the second one.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise loves motorcycles. He drives them all the time, and so he always figures out a way to throw them in there.
Right.
And none of them really have been disappointing.
Nah.
This one was very different because he rode this motorcycle more realistically than in any other movie. You know, I was watching him put his legs down to help steer, and it was fast, but it wasn't too damn fast, you know. And this is pretty real.
Yeah, he was in traffic.
Except when he ran into the thing and fell over the car. He would have been dead.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have been dead. No helmet.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was really. I want to say. That was when the movie started falling apart for me. Not because of the you have to accept this is an unrealistic movie. I don't care about that. It's just that, like, we have to establish that this movie is candy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're here to enjoy our candy.
Yes.
And we're not really worried about plot. And we're not really worried about any of this other bullshit. But this part of the movie is when it starts to drag. When they leave, you know, he gets in the boat. And they head to London for the rendezvous. And then all this backstory, bullshit, fill me in, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Like, this movie should have been like an hour and 50 minutes, maybe 2 hours tops.
Yeah. Okay.
2 hours and 20 minutes is too fucking long.
Yeah, the 20 minutes is a little long, but I still enjoyed it, to say the least. I like when they jumped in the boat.
Mm.
I like that because that's Mission Impossible shit.
Oh, you know? When it was up under the
he scooched out in there, and then and then they're off to someplace else, you know,
another safe house.
Yeah, and so I like the scene with the cop though, you know,
the
female
scene.
Cop. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I really like that. I was like,
cool. Yeah,
he was just begging her, just walk
turn away. Yeah, but she couldn't do it.
No, she a cop, man. What's she gonna tell the commander? Yeah, it was like four guys abducting somebody. I just walked away. Because it just looked a little too much. But he showed it, gunned down those dudes with the quickness, which I wasn't expecting. You know, it was a lot of moments that I guess you should have been expecting, but when it happened, it was like, oh, you know, I thought they were going to, you know, go, you know, drive away and stuff. And he wasn't going to let that dude stand over that cop and kill it. And I was like, wow, that was cool. That was cool.
Very gentlemanlike.
Yeah. So,
I think she wanted to kiss him too after that.
I think she was like, please, let's get away from me so I can bleed
in peace. Like, call her back.
This is all scary. I'm just writing traffic tickets.
Now, are we at the part where Tom Cruise is running?
He ran, yeah, man.
He ran through about 15 minutes. Did you like this part, Tiff? I loved it. I like seeing Tom Cruise
when he was running for when he was running to get Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
and it's always it's always Benji doing something wrong. He like got the shit upside down.
Right,
it's not in 3D mode.
Right,
and I like how Luther just he's always because you know they're both tech guys and he's always looking at him like God damn man, you know. But I really like the scene in the office building. You know, with the chair.
Yes.
You know, the people looking at him like, this fool about to jump out this damn window.
Right.
You know.
My favorite part was when he was in the funeral and he was like, I am very sorry.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
But you know what? Like you were saying, that was realistic because he didn't start fighting in there. He got up out of there.
It was a packed funeral house, too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that's cool. Next thing you know, they're Where did they do the final thing at? They go to this UNICEF camp.
They go to this UNICEF camp
where they already did some stuff. And lo and behold, shock my cheeks when the ex-wife showed up there.
She's the wife. Yeah.
And I felt bad for him, man. You know, I understood when she had the husband. I felt their pain when they was looking at each other. I was like, damn, because it ain't like they got a divorce because they hated each other. Yeah, you know,
I will say, because this is it's starting to drag here for me and it's getting really boring. Yeah. However, there is some real acting intensity when he grabs her and whispers in her ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
that. That was one of the most intense, like, maybe in a movie that I have seen in a while, there was a lot of intensity and electricity in that scene.
Listen, I like how the homies were sitting there watching the whole thing while he was talking to her, you know, looking at how this was going to go. I didn't think this part was boring at all. Actually, that acting intensity to me was a payoff. You know how, like, because there's so much action.
With Julia?
Yeah, I really liked that scene, man, because I thought they both brought it. And the husband, I thought he brought it. He was just so oblivious and just happy and, you know, and the homies, the way they were standing down there watching it, I said, that's an excellent scene, man. You know,
they were trying to, like, not pay attention, but still pay attention. I mean, you know, kind of, you know.
Yeah, so... They take off in the copters. Now, the only thing I felt like they dragged was the helicopter scene. I think that went on forever. Yeah.
Ooh, that was great.
It did go on and on. And here's my thing. And I know that people are not going to agree with me, but I'm going to have to say it anyway. If you have 15 minutes to do something,
I was going
to
agree.
Then the filming time should not be 40 fucking minutes.
Right. Yeah. I feel you on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. It went on to me. I loved it, but I think it could have just been because they showed a couple of scenes where the helicopter was going up and then it went down. Yeah, it went up and I was like, okay, y'all got to condense this a little bit. And so, but I still dug it. And then the fight at the end and stuff with the hanging on by a cable and all that stuff. I dug all that stuff. And it just.
So let's talk about some. You know how you said that Ethan would be dead after that motorcycle accident?
Oh, they both would be dead. Yeah.
Henry Cavill would probably be dead several times from the crash alone, but when that fucking hot ass gasoline burns his face, that would have killed him probably.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have just burned him.
No,
it probably would have killed him.
It would have melted.
And then also when that girl gets smacked across the face with that big stick, that probably would have killed her too. But then later we see her and her face isn't even hardly bruised.
It was mildly bruised there too.
Right. It was mildly.
Someone breathed on her.
She too fine to have her face all beat up in a thing.
That's what I'm saying. That's bullshit.
Now, this is what I really wanted to happen.
What?
After Henry Cavill got burned, I wanted him to get away.
Because
I would like to see him
yes,
come
he could
back.
Be a big bad.
Exactly, with the half burnt face, the two-faced thing going on. I was like, oh, they gotta let this dude get away. Like, just fall down the thing and you just don't see him no more.
Yeah, right,
But here's the radio. I was like, don't kill him. Don't kill him. His face is cool now. He got half a face, you know?
Well, now he got a big hook in it.
Well, they burned him, I think. I told Sean, I was like, he was too beautiful to be believed as a bad guy. I think they had to, like, take some of that away from him.
The mustache made him a good bad guy. All he needed to do was twist it. Just, meow. Anyway. Smooth, they showed his head explode on that rock down there.
Oh, no, they did. It was a splat. It was a, like, splat. Yeah, you're right.
He was toast.
Yeah, you're right.
There ain't no coming back, man. Ain't no coming back.
Nah, not from that. Nah.
Nah, but I thought he would have been cool for the next
movie. Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah, that would have been nice. But they still put the other bad guy in the trunk. Got it? You know,
what's they sure did.
Threw his ass right in the trunk.
Man, they threw Solomon in right in there in a second. Solomon was just a trip, man.
Gave him back,
You know, he just wanted to go there and just die.
Right. Yeah, because I was thinking like, damn, you're not going. Oh wow, you believe the cause, huh? You know what I'm saying? You believe your cause. You're not gonna. Yeah, 5 minutes and it to be gone.
Man, why do I want to be gone?
You know? Right. Yeah.
They must.
I think he said he was just tired, and I think he just wanted revenge on Ethan real bad.
Yeah, they broke his spirits in that jail, taking him from place to place to place to place. Could you imagine sitting down chained all day, just shaking and rocking?
Right.
You know,
oh, with a bag over your head.
Shit! What a life. Kill me, man! I'm gonna swallow my tongue and do something. Get out of here. Anyway, man, you know, we didn't go around the room to begin it, but let's go around now. Smooth, what you think of this movie, man?
I give it an A.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I give it an A.
A little long, but still was, yeah, still
it was
worth
it. It was a little, and you know why I say that? Because I was tired as hell. I had worked early. I had did all the stuff with the kids. Got to the movie like, man, I'm not going to make it. But it had all the action and suspense and good stuff, so, and it kept my attention. And all you like, fell off, well, I mean, nodded off maybe about 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, shit, just two.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Tiffobot.
Here's the thing. It was nice. Like, I was very invested in the beginning. I had my action pants on, and I was ready. I was super pumped. And I was like, this is great. I'm having a great time. Woo, 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 woo. And then it just started dragging, and I'm like, you're fucking ruining it for me. You're taking our ship down in the sea. It was so, like, so I give it, like, for somebody who probably, like, has watched all of them, like Montego, maybe better, but, like, for me as a first one, I was like, you're dragging me. So, it's like a C plus B.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Hey, just so you know, Lang Yang,
yeah,
he played, he was Lark, and he was, like, he was one of the rare dudes in Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's been in a raid and stuff like that. Yeah, this cat, he was in The Force Awakens. He's a martial arts redonkulous.
I could tell that he was like master. Insane.
He's the real deal. He's the karate master. Goodness gracious. Anyway, y'all know I loved it. I loved the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was a little long. I don't think it needed that 27 minutes. I think they could have just edited each little scene a little bit, and you would have got it to about 20 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Little long, but I was so invested. And the emotional scenes that they did have, I dug the slower scenes. You kind of reminded me of Antoine Fuqua with The Equalizer, some of those slower scenes that, you know, yeah, give me a minute to breathe a little bit. Let me chill.
There's a little bit more nuance, and maybe I just feel differently about The Equalizer, but there's a little more nuance there.
Yeah, I agree. But I still, it's a total recommend. I think this was a redunculous double thumbs up for me. So that's going to do it, man. And we have decided, man, we're going to go to the movies and check out The Meg next week. We're going to come back and have some summertime fun, man, with a big, ridiculous, non-believable shark and see how that goes.
I'm excited.
Indeed. So that's it for Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley, host of Fans of Patrol. With me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tiffobot.
It's been a pleasure as always.
And Smooth Daddy.
SMWOVE spells Smooth, not Dwayne, and I'm Audi 5. Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, I was waiting for the rest of it. It's cool. All right, man. Until next week, we will be
on Patrol.